One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It was a day like any other. The sun was shining, the air was crisp, and the rhythm of bicycle tires on pavement filled the quiet afternoon. For Jim and his daughter, this ride through a peaceful cemetery in a small Florida town was a ritual. Familiar, predictable, and safe. But what happened that day would defy all sense of logic and comfort. A tall figure, unmoving arms, a face he could never bring himself to see. At first, Jim dismissed her as a passerby, someone out for a slow stroll. Yet as he pedaled past her again, a creeping sense of unease took hold. Something about her, her unnatural stillness, her mechanical movements, stayed with him, lingering in his thoughts long after they left the cemetery. Was it merely an unusual encounter with a stranger? Or did Jim stumble upon something far more otherworldly? Something that had been waiting there, unnoticed in the daylight? As Jim recounts his experience, we're left to wonder, are we ever truly alone, even in the most familiar of places? Or do certain presences remain just beyond the edge of perception, waiting for the right moment to be seen? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I hope this letter finds you well. I've listened to your stories for months now, never imagining I'd have one to share. But something happened to me 3 years ago, and I can't shake it. It keeps replaying in my mind, and the more I think about it, the stranger it seems. I've told only a few people, but no one seems to understand. Maybe you will." It was a Saturday, a beautiful afternoon in late spring, the kind of day where the sun filters through the trees just right, and everything feels calm and alive. My daughter and I were out on our bicycles like we often were, riding our usual route through town. For years, we'd included a small cemetery in our rides, a quiet, well-kept place fenced by hedges, always peaceful and empty. That day started no differently. We left my house around 2, pedaled through the local bike trail, and reached the cemetery a little after 3. The sun was high, the air was warm, and everything seemed perfectly normal. But as we approached the cemetery entrance, I noticed her. At first, she was just a figure on the sidewalk, a tall woman walking slowly along the edge of the cemetery. She wore a pink corduroy suit, an unusual choice for such a warm day, and her white hair was tied back neatly, almost too neatly, like a wig. There was something off about her, but I couldn't put my finger on it. She moved so slowly as if walking was a struggle, but then I realized there was no movement. Her arms stayed at her sides, her head didn't turn. I couldn't even see her feet moving. She seemed to glide, unnaturally smooth and deliberate. I passed her without much thought at first, but something made me look back. That's when it hit me. She wasn't walking the way a person should. No sway of the hips, no shift in balance. It was like watching a puppet on invisible strings, and her height. She must have been 6'4", at least. For a moment, I thought she might be ill or injured, but there was no one else around, no caretaker or companion. I turned into the cemetery, my mind racing to make sense of what I'd seen. My daughter, pedaling just behind me, noticed her too, but she didn't seem as unsettled. "Probably just someone out for a walk," she said, brushing it off. But I couldn't shake the feeling that there was more to it. As we looped around the cemetery, I kept glancing back at her. Each time she seemed farther along than she should have been, as if she'd covered more ground than was possible. One moment, she was at the edge of the cemetery. The next, she was at the entrance, turning in. It was like watching someone move through a strobe light, there one second, and farther ahead the next. I told myself I was imagining things. After all, it was a sunny afternoon in broad daylight, hardly the setting for a ghost story. Still, something about her unnerved me. I decided that when we passed her again on our way out, I'd take a good look at her face. Maybe then I'd feel better, see something that made sense of it all. But when the moment came, I couldn't do it. As we rode past her, I kept my head straight, refusing to turn and look. It wasn't fear, exactly. It was more like I wasn't supposed to. Like some invisible force stopped me from turning my head. When I glanced back after we passed her, she was deeper into the cemetery, moving the same way, slow, deliberate, and utterly silent. My daughter noticed her again, but didn't think much of it. "Come on," she said. "Let's keep going." And so we did, but I couldn't stop thinking about her. Later that evening, as I sat at home, the image of her replayed in my mind. The white hair, the pink suit, the way she moved or didn't move. I tried to tell myself it was just a strange coincidence. A woman who happened to look a little odd. But the more I thought about it, the less it made sense. Why didn't I look at her face? Why did she seem to move without moving? And why did I feel so drawn to her? Like she was pulling my attention without even trying. That was just the beginning. Over the next few weeks, I couldn't stop thinking about her. Every time I rode through the cemetery, I found myself glancing around, half hoping and half dreading that I'd see her again. But she was never there. Just the memory of her, lingering like a shadow in the back of my mind. I've ridden through that cemetery hundreds of times over the years. It's always been peaceful, uneventful. But now, every time I pass the spot where I first saw her, I feel it. A quiet heaviness, like the air is just a little thicker, the light a little dimmer. I don't know how else to describe it. It's as if that moment left a mark, one that I can't shake. Weeks passed and life moved on, but the image of that woman lingered in my mind like a haunting melody. You can't forget. I kept telling myself I'd imagined the strange details, that the light had played tricks on my eyes, or that I'd misinterpreted what I saw. Still, there was a part of me that couldn't let it go. Something about her was wrong, and I knew it. I avoided riding alone for a while. It wasn't fear, exactly, but I felt a hesitation I couldn't explain. My daughter and I kept to our routine, riding through the cemetery together, and I started to convince myself that maybe the encounter had been nothing more than an oddity. But then one late afternoon, I saw her again. This time the sun was lower in the sky, casting long shadows through the trees. I decided to ride alone that day, needing some time to clear my head. As I approached the cemetery, I felt a strange pull, an unshakable sense that I needed to look carefully, to pay attention. And then there she was. She stood near the entrance, partially obscured by the hedge. The pink corduroy suit was unmistakable, as was her tall, rigid frame. My heart pounded as I slowed my bike, this time determined to see her face. But just as I turned my head, she stepped behind the hedge, disappearing from view. I stopped my bike and stared at the spot where she'd been. The cemetery was silent, the kind of silence that feels unnatural, like the world is holding its breath. I waited, expecting her to reappear, but she didn't. Slowly, I rode on, my eyes scanning every corner of the cemetery. She was gone. That night, I dreamed about her. It wasn't like other dreams, though. This one felt heavy, oppressive. I was standing in the cemetery and she was there, her back to me, just like before. But in the dream, I couldn't move. No matter how much I tried, I was frozen in place, watching her as she stood perfectly still. Then slowly, she began to turn. I woke up before I saw her face, drenched in sweat, my heart racing. After that, things started to change. I'd hear faint whispers when I was alone in my house, too soft to make out, but loud enough to unsettle me. Shadows seemed to move just at the edge of my vision, disappearing when I turned my head. And always, there was this feeling that she was near, watching, waiting. One evening, as I rode through the cemetery again, I felt the air shift. It was subtle at first, like a cool breeze brushing past me, but then it grew heavier, almost suffocating. I looked around and there she was, standing in the distance, facing me this time. My heart leapt into my throat. Her face, I can't explain it. It wasn't blurry exactly, but it was indistinct, as if the features refused to come into focus. The more I stared, the harder it became to concentrate, like she was draining my thoughts. And then she began to move, slowly, deliberately, toward me. I froze, unable to look away. Every instinct told me to run, to get back on my bike and leave, but I couldn't move. She stopped a few feet away, just close enough for me to feel the weight of her presence. The silence was deafening, and for a moment I thought I might pass out. Then, as suddenly as she'd appeared, she was gone. I didn't see her leave. She was just gone. The air felt lighter and the cemetery was silent again, but I knew I couldn't stay. I got on my bike and pedaled away as fast as I could, my hands trembling on the handlebars. I've thought about that moment every day since. I don't know what she was or why I saw her. I've read about ghosts and apparitions, but none of it fully explains what I experienced. Was she trying to communicate something? Was she tied to the cemetery, or had she somehow attached herself to me? And why did I feel so drawn to her, even when every instinct told me to stay away? I haven't seen her again, but I still feel her presence sometimes, especially when I pass the cemetery. It's a strange sensation, like a weight pressing down on my chest, reminding me that she's still out there somewhere. Tony, I don't know what to make of any of this. Was it all in my head? Or did I come face to face with something beyond understanding? All I know is that I'll never forget her. The woman who walked without moving, whose face I'll never see, but who I'll never stop seeing in my mind. Thank you for listening to my story. I hope you can make sense of what I can't. Sincerely, Jim. What do you make of Jim's story? A mysterious figure moving with impossible stillness, appearing and disappearing without warning. It's the kind of encounter that lingers in the corners of your mind, daring you to rationalize it. Was she a ghost, tethered to the cemetery where she was first seen? Or could she have been something else entirely, something that doesn't follow the rules of our world? Let's explore the possibilities. On one hand, there's the psychological explanation. Encounters like Jim's could stem from the mind playing tricks, especially in a setting like a cemetery, where subconscious fears and cultural associations with the supernatural run deep. Pareidolia, the tendency to perceive patterns where none exist, might explain why Jim felt compelled to see something otherworldly in an otherwise ordinary figure. Could his dreams and the strange sensations that followed have been his mind filling in gaps, reinforcing a moment of misperception? But then, there's the other side, the one that defies logic. Jim's detailed description of her movement, or lack thereof, is eerily specific and consistent. Many accounts of paranormal apparitions describe similar characteristics, figures that glide rather than walk, features that seem incomplete or blurred, and an oppressive presence that lingers long after the encounter. Could Jim have crossed paths with a restless spirit tied to the cemetery by some unfinished business? Or was this entity something older, darker, and more enigmatic, drawn to Jim for reasons we'll never fully understand? And then there's the question of control Jim's inability to look at her face despite his resolve suggests a level of influence that's hard to explain. Could she have exerted some force over him, subtly guiding his actions and decisions? If so, what does that say about her intentions? Was she merely observing him, or was there something more deliberate at play? Jim's story leaves us with more questions than answers, but maybe that's the point. Perhaps the greatest mysteries are the ones we can't solve, the ones that remind us how little we truly understand about the world around us. Whether the woman was a ghost, an apparition, or something we can't even name, one thing is certain. Jim's encounter will stay with him, and now with us, for a long time. Until next time, stay curious, stay skeptical, and keep asking, what else might be out there, just beyond the edge of what we can see?
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.